Okay, here we go. Bava Metzia, Daf Lamed Amed Aleph, 30a. Shotcha l'tarka avalo l'chvodo. I think this is still talking about the Sefer Torah. When you find the Sefer...
It says here a garment.
Oh, garments. Okay, that's right. You have to spread it out, but only for the sake of it, not for the sake of you. Right? If you remember, the Mishnah had said something along the lines of, like, you know, hanging it up for posterity or for... You know, like you can hang up a rug or something like that. But if it's for the airing out of the clothing itself, so that's good. Ibailu, litzarko ulitzarka mai. What if it functions both? Tashima shotcha litzarka, litzarka in, halitzarko ulitzarka lo. But aim a seifa. Avalo lichvodo, lichvodohu de lo, halitzarka ulitzarko, shaper dami. Al meha leklamash mimina. Classic Gemara. Implications from both sides of the Mishnah, you can't necessarily tell. On the one hand, it says only if it's for its own purpose, which implies that anything else is no good. But then it says it's no good only if it's for your own purpose, which means that if it's anything else, even both purposes, that would be fine. Tashema lo yishtachena lo agave mitav lo agave magod. We're talking here again about clothing, that if you find a piece of clothing, so then you can't spread it out on a bed and not on a peg? Magod. Litzarko. Aval yishtachena al gabe mitzav yal gabe magod litzarka. You could do that, however, if it's for its own good. So nizdame, again, you can't be mashma anything from there either. You can't infer anything from that. It's the same as our Mishnah, basically. Nizdam nulo orchim lo ishtachen lo agabi mitav lo agabi magod, ben letzarko, ben letzarka. Okay, even if you have guests, when you have guests, you can't do it for either one. Which implies that maybe there's a greater implication from this phrase, ben letzarko, ben letzarka. No matter what it is, one or the other, including both, you can't do it. So Shani Hasim Demikla Kalila. By spreading out the garment, he is doing what? He's wearing it down. It hurts it.
Burns in it. He potentially brings about the garment's ruin.
Yeah. Okay, I also have the word burn in my Hebrew, and I didn't think that was a literal.
Yeah, it says destroy with the destroy. Note, literally burn, but I think.
Mikla does mean to burn, that's what it's saying. Okay, interesting. Imishum ina, either because of ayin hara, imishum ganave, or because people are coming over, they might see it, they might want it, and they might take it. But that's not because, it's not because you can't do it litzarka at all, it's just because these other... ancillary concerns. Tashima hichnisa lirvaka. If you put the calf into the pen,
the team,
vidasha, and the calf.
Three or four cows used for threshing.
And while in the harness, it threshed.
Okay. So it threshed while it was in there. Kishera. So it's still kosher for egla rufa. That's what we're talking about. Can the calf still be used for an egla rufa case? When someone dies in between two cities, etc. Which technically can't be worked at all. Okay. So bishvil shetinak vitadosh. If it's in order... Was the first one in order to nurse or something? Is that what Tinak means here?
It says here, yeah, should suckle and thresh at the same time.
Right. So I think the first case is Liravaka is you somehow put it in there so that it could suckle from its mother.
Yeah, it says here.
That's why you put it in there in the first place.
It says you put it in a multiple harness, right, intending for the calf to suckle from its mother. While
right, and then incidentally, it also threshes. That's what we're talking. So that's why it's a similar case. Because it's, if it's for suckling, kshira. If it's for threshing, no good. So now the question is, what if you're doing both? Bishvil shetinak vitadosh, psula, if it's for both, so then it's no good. I know what's going to happen here. This is a pasuk. The pasuk says you can't work it. It doesn't matter what else is joined in to that activity. You can't work it at all. But either way, right now the Gemara is trying to say that here you have a double purpose, one which is okay, one which is not okay, and the Gemara is saying it's pasul. And therefore, shouldn't we learn also here, letzarka, letzarka, is also a problem when it comes to the garment. Says Gemara, no shani hasam, da amakra asher lo ubad ba mikol makom. Saw that coming from a mile away. That it's not worked at all. Even if it's doing something else, that doesn't make it better. As opposed to the garment case. The garment case, the problem is doing something which is going to be detrimental to the garments. And if you're doing it for your own personal honor, so then we're worried that you're going to, you know, you're not going to treat the garment properly. But if you're doing it also for its purposes of airing it out, so then you're not mistreating it. So the Gemara says, "I hachi afila resha nami." If that was the case, why isn't the resha a problem when it's going to suckle on its mother and it happens to incidentally do work? Says Gemara, "Halo damya elalaha." That the halacha there by the Egla Rufa is not similar to what we're talking. It's similar to something else. It's non shachan aleha of kshira. If you put on top of the red heifer, this is not the Egla Rufa. It's another animal that can't be worked, which is the paraduma. If you put on top of it a bird, so it's still kasher, even though the Torah says lo la la all, it can't have any burdens. The paraduma. So that's a problem. That's not a problem when it's a bird, because the bird went on it. Is that what we're saying?
I'm saying a bird landed on it, as opposed to for some
reason. Right. You facilitated it.
You placed a chicken on it or something.
There's also no benefit from it. Like you don't get anything. Usually when the paraduma, you know, la la la, all is like a real yoke where you're actually like using it to thresh the floor or something. Nobody is getting any benefit from this bird landing on it. So, however, Allah Allah hazachar psula. If a male animal comes upon the paraduma in terms of mounts it, I guess that's considered an ol because it's heavy and because it could, you know, lead to intercourse, which leads to another par or para. So then that does have some kind of benefit. So therefore, in that sense, so the question is my time, but what's the reason for that's a good thing? Kidur of Papa, Tamar of Papa, Iksiv Ubad, Vikarinan Ubad. If it would have written Ubad and we would say the word as Ubad, Havamina Afil Memela. If it, you know, the word Ubad means it was worked. And we would have thought that if that's how it's written and read, we would say that even if it happens incidentally, Memela, passively, in this case of the Egla Rufa, it would be sort of like the suckling which happens to incidentally thresh. Or in the case of the paraduma, where the bird happens to land on it. V'iksiv avad, v'karinan avad, if it was written the word avad, and we read it avad, meaning it did actual work, having an ad to avad ba'ihu, until the workers actually did work with it, as opposed to something that happened to it. But hasht d'chsiv, it didn't do either one of those, the pasuk. Hasht d'chsiv avad, v'karinan ubad, if you look at the Sefer Torah, it says ayin beis dalid, and no other letters. But we read it, so it looks like avad, but we read it ubad. So then what are we talking about? So be'in an ubad dumya da avad. We're looking for some kind of passive activity, incidental activity, which is similar to actually doing active activity. Ma avad dinichale, af ubad dinichale. So what is that sort of in-between stage? It's when it's even a passive work that is beneficial. Meaning not that the owners did it themselves, caused the animal to do it themselves, but that the owners stand to gain from this passive activity. And therefore, they would be okay with it. Meaning they give their approval, basically. So that is the case of the paraduma. And I guess we're just, the Gemara is leaving it unspoken, but it's also, therefore, our extrapolation for the Egla Rufa. And that just shows us that the egg larufa, if it's completely passive, like suckling and happening to thresh while you're doing it, so that's okay. But that also is only for an egg larufa or a paraduma, which have this this special prohibition of not being worked at all. When it comes, however, to the lost item, the garment, so we have no real conclusive conclusive halacha here, whether litzarka u litzarka is justified. I would say that usually when that happens, we have to be machmer, in which case it's similar to the egg larufa in the case of the suckling, because if it's doing for both, we have to be machmer just like the egg larufa, that it's puzzle, or that you shouldn't do it. Okay, another one of those gemaras that doesn't leave off on an explicit conclusion, but we can imply that we're just going to be machmer. When it comes to silver or nechoshes is copper, so then you can use them for their own purposes or to help them, but not to grind them, not something that's going to grind them. So Tana Rabbana and Hamotzi Kliyetz Mishdamish Pem Mishvil Shelo Yirakvu. When it comes to wooden utensils, which the Mishnah didn't actually talk about at all, you can use them in order so that it doesn't rot. Yes, wood, if left alone, will rot. But if kept active, I don't know. I don't know how that works. Klei Nechoshes, when it comes to copper, however, Mishdamish Ben Bechamin, you can use them even in hot substances. Aval Lo Alidei Ha'or, but not in actual fire. Mibnei Shemashach Shemashchikan. Because it's going to grind it or weaken it. I'm not really sure how to translate that. What is a mashchikan?
It says the heat blackens the utensils.
Mashchik means the blackens?
Like a wooden barrel. If you don't keep it wet, it shrivels.
Right. I hear that. Because it's a natural material, yeah.
Right, you need to keep it wet. You should keep it in use all the time.
Right. How do you translate mashchikan? David, do you have a word translation for Mibnei Shemashchikan? You shouldn't put it on the fire because it, you said, blackens it. I don't know that word, blacken, from Mashchikan.
It says wears them out.
Wears them out. That's what I was thinking. Okay. Kli kesef mishtamish ben bitzonein, aval lo b'chamen mibnei shemashchiran. Is that the one you were reading? Silver, you should.
I had jumped ahead.
Yeah, okay. It's a similar word. Mashchiran, mashchikan. Same word, except it's missing the leg of the kuf. So klei kesef, when it comes to silver, if you use them, you can use them in cold water, but not even in hot water, because that will blacken them. Magrefos, is that a shovel?
Yeah.
A shovel, which I guess is usually made out of some kind of metal. The kardomos, is that a hammer or a... No, it's a... Hatchet, that's right.
They have trowels and spades.
Spade, okay. Mishdamish ben barach, you can use them in soft ground. Aval lo bekasha, but not something hard. Mibnei shemafchisan, all these similar words, because it makes blemishes or it makes holes or something.
It injures them.
Klei zav, klei zechuches, gold and glass. Lo yigav hen ad shevo Eliyahu. That was our Mishnah also, I think. Just like it is by a lost item that you're sort of protecting, so it is by something that's deposited by you. So Gemara says, "Pikadon maya videte gabe." Why would he? Why would he? The person that has the deposit. Why would he be using it?
What's his business with it? In other words, why must the custodian care for it? Let the owner come and care for it himself.
Oh, okay. By the lost item, the owner doesn't know. So then it's, you know, his responsibility to keep it in good shape. But the picaron, the owner said, here, have this until I come back. He should know better that he's got his hatchet by this guy. And the time is passing, and if you don't use it, it's going to go bad. Amrav Ada Barchama Amrav Sheshes v'picaron shalchu ba'alei l'medina zayam. The guy went out of town. Okay. Interesting. Any container or bag and anything else which is not typically, I guess this means taken around. That's what the Mishnah said. But
what it says here, it wouldn't be his practice to pick it up if it were his own.
Right, but that, I mean, You took it home with you. It's a lost item that you picked up, you brought home. Now the question is, how do you use it to sort of keep it fresh, just like the metal? We're saying that's the type of thing you just, you know, put in a spot and let it stay there. So so also him, he doesn't have any responsibility, the finder doesn't have any responsibility to move this box around. So how do we know? This is our banan, v'salamta. No, actually, if we're darshaning this pasuk, I'm thinking that what it means is you don't have to move the box out. You don't have to take it. You don't even have to pick it up for the guy who lost it. You find a box, a container of some kind out in the street. You just leave it there. I think that's what it means, because this pasuk is talking about that case. Tatan rabbanu b'salamta me'em. You should not look at an animal that's your friend's and hide yourself from it. Meaning, pamim shatim esalim. There are some times that you are allowed to. And then there are times that you should not hide yourself. Okay, so what are the two cases? If you are a Kohen and the lost item is in the cemetery, which you can't go into, or you're an old man and it's not befitting an old man to have to pick up this item. It's sort of beneath their honor. Or if he is going to be paid more for what he's already doing,
his own work is more valuable than his neighbor's.
Yeah, he gets paid, $100. I don't know. Gets paid more than the item is worth. So it's not. I don't know why that would be the case.
He would lose in returning it. Exceeded that of the
item itself. The item get paid for even when he brings it back? So what does it make a difference? This sounds almost arbitrary, because you don't get paid for bringing back a lost item.
But you would. The real question seems to be, is it even worth the bother?
Right.
Is it worth the bother? I found a, $1,
Right, but I'm saying that litmus test is somewhat arbitrary then. What's the worth of a mitzvah?
I found on the ground a $5 digital watch. Really cheap.
No, I get that. You're using an extreme example.
I make $50 an hour. Right.
Okay. So what about? That's good. Good for you. What about a day laborer who makes $4? So now the watch is.
So that's
worth Hashem's Aveda?
That's
say, like, depending who finds it, it's going to be worth or not worth
it.
He's
sort of punished for it.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make a difference. Like, it's an arbitrary number. Your personal salary doesn't make any difference.
You're punishing the poor.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird one.
Interesting question.
I don't know. Maybe we'll dig into that some other time. But, L'kach ne'amar b'salam tamehem. That's why the pasuk says there are times where you do hide yourself. The way that it's phrased, the drush is that you sometimes should hide yourself. L'mai yitzrich l'kara. Why do we need the pasuk to say this? E'ilem l'kohen v'yivez l'kvaros. Oh, this is famous gemara too. That if we're talking about a kohen who's in a cemetery, so that's pshita, that's obvious. Why is it obvious that the kohen can't go and get the hashavet and do hashavet zaveda when it's in a cemetery? Hai asei, v'hai los asei v'asei. On the one hand, you have a Shabbos Aveda, that's one mitzvah. And then you have the Los Aseh and the Aseh of not becoming Tamei. There are two, there's L'Nevesh Lo Yitama, and there is Kedoshim Yiyu, that the Kohanim should stay in their holy state. That is, those are two mitzvahs. You can't use one mitzvah to push away two mitzvahs. And therefore, we would already know that the Kohen doesn't go into the Beis HaKavaros to get the lost item. So why do we need a drasha from a Pasuk V'Salam to Mehem? V'lo Asi Asi V'dachos Los Aseh V'Aseh. And furthermore, lo dachin an isur mekamei mamona. And furthermore, we don't push away an isur for the sake of money. Lo dachin an isur mekamei mamona. Yeah, even if it was only one isur about tuma, we would not say asi dechol asase. Ella shalom iruba. Ella l'shalom meruba me'al shachavero. You should know, by the way, that Gemara is very important for the concept of aseh d'cholos aseh, because the fact that the Gemara even pretends that that's an actual consideration here implies that the aseh d'cholos aseh can happen at different times. When do you fulfill the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? When do you get that mitzvah?
When you
return it.
Oh, okay.
You don't fulfill the mitzvah when you pick it up.
Really? But you
picked it up, but you haven't given it back. Hashava means to give it back. Now you're making
you
good point.
You never find the person, okay. so you don't get a mitzvah for that?
You put in some good effort. Hashem sees your efforts, but the guy never got his stuff back. So how could it be a Sheva Zaveda? However, when do you get the Isser of becoming Tameh?
Immediately.
Right when you walk in the cemetery. So the two things aren't happening at the same time. Aseh D'Chalos Aseh usually needs to be what we call Be'idna. It has to happen at the same time. You put your tzitzis on with the wool and linen mixed together. That's Aseh D'Chalos Aseh. It's happening at the same exact time. But when it comes to the Shabbos Aveda, they're happening at different times. So a lot of the Rishonim deal with this question. Like, why are we even talking about this? They're happening at different times.
Hechsher mitzvah, maybe.
Good. And that's how the summary is shown to talk about. Maybe what we're talking about is when the preparations for the mitzvah are so integral to the fulfillment of the mitzvah, they're considered, like Aaron was sort of implying, that they're part of the mitzvah. And or some say that maybe the definition of the Sheva Zaveda is that whole time, the whole process of seeing it, getting it, and returning it is all one long mitzvah. It's a hard sell. But there's a Rishon, maybe the Nemuka Yosef says, I remember this from a long time ago, that says that that going to cut off a tree for lulav should also be aseh d'chalos aseh, right? You're not doing the mitzvah right now, but it's part of the hechsher mitzvah. So a lot of the Rishonim don't like this whole back and forth. I remember this pretty clearly. There's a thing called the Kitzur Bali Atosos or something at the end of Gemara, which darshens this in another Gemara and makes
a
big sitting.
We spent a lot of time on Hechsher Mitzvah. I don't remember where, but we did.
Yeah. We talked about it by Bris Mila a little bit, about getting the knife and stuff. But okay. So what are you going to tell me? That it's for the sake of Shalom Reuven Shachavero? That's the Chiddush of the Salam to Mehem is that just that part, right? Because we don't need it for the Kohen case, because the Kohen case already Lo Dechin Yisur Mekamimona or Ase Dechol Sasevase. So maybe it's because it's not worth his while. Midrav Yehud Amar Rav Nafka. We learn that from a different place also. So Amar Rav Yehud Amar Rav Efes Kilo Yebecha Avyon Becha. This is from, I don't know where this pasuk's from. Re'e, maybe? Efes lo yebcha avyon. I think that pasuk is talking about Hashem is going to make sure that there's no poverty. Shalcha kodom shalcha kol adam. Your concerns supersede the concerns of your fellow man. I'm not sure. I guess the becha avyon. There's first becha, and then there's the avyon. Really, the only chiddush of the salam to mehem is for the sake of the elderly person. How in the world does that teach us anything about not moving the box? I guess we're just saying that situationally, there's some things that you just don't have to do. Just like the old person doesn't have to go get the lost item, so too, a box which isn't typically taken doesn't have to be taken. I assume that's the only thing that we're talking about here. Yeah. Ein dark alitol, so then you don't take it. Ein dark alitol, hare ze lo yitol. Basically, this halacha teaches that there are some circumstances where the thing should not be taken. And that's what we're applying to the box, which stays in its place, and to the elderly man who doesn't pick up the lost item. Okay. Amar Rabba, I think there are kashas on that too, by the way. So the Zakin doesn't want the mitzvah of Hasheva Zaveda? Mitzvahs aren't lefi chvodo? Since when is doing a mitzvah not honorable? That's a good Bali Musar question. But we can talk about it a different time. Amar Rabba, hikisha chayevba. If the elderly person that sees the animal and it's not within his kavod to return it, even though he's putter, he could do other things. He could sort of hit it and sort of nudge it to the right place or something, right? Is that what it's saying? If he does that, chayev ba. Once he moves it off its spot, so then he'd be chayev. Because he started the mitzvah. If you start it, you got to finish. Finish what you start. Abaye have Yosef Kame de Rabba Chazal Hanachiz the Kaim Shakal Kala Shtabahu. He saw, was it goats?
Uh-huh.
Goats. And he took a piece of, like a clump of dirt and threw it at the goats. So Amar Le, Rabba said to Abaye, Ichayavt Behu Now you're obligated to go bring it back because you didn't have to bring it back because you're an old person, and it would be beneath your honor, maybe because he's a Talmid Chacham, it's beneath his honor, I'm not sure. But now that you've done something, do it, you got to go finish the job. Kum ahadrinhu, go and bring it back. Ibai lehu, dark lahasu besadavein, dark lahasu be'ir, mahu. What if it's the type of thing where if it's found, so the outskirts of the city, where people aren't watching this unfold, and therefore it's not beneath his dignity to deal with whatever the thing is. People aren't watching. V'ein dark olahachzer be'ir. I don't like this, the undercurrent of optics considerations here. But okay, v'ein dark olahachzer be'ir, but it's something which, if people are around, it would not be so, you know, honorable. So then mahu, it would be beneath their dignity. So then mahu. So then what's the halacha? I guess generally, do we say that when the Torah talks about bringing something back, it's talking specifically about something which is always brought back in all circumstances? The cave and delav darke lahachzer v'ir, and because this thing is not always brought back if it's found in the city, so then maybe you never have to bring it back, even if it's found somewhere else. Lo l'chayev. Oh, Dilma besadam yasmi d'chayev, like maybe it is the type of thing which is brought back. Meaning there is some semblance of
there seems to be an underlying legitimate return here that you know the outcome, you know the owner. Oh, I know who these are. Mm. He lives out on the outskirts, so I better bring him back to him. Or I know the owner. He lives right in the fanciest part of town.
So I was thinking about where the thing is found, but I assume that you're right also if it's where it's you're returning it also.
But if you don't know the owner yet and then you have to announce it.
Right.
You have
I hear you.
Idea which is which. And once you start, you got to finish. Right. So.
Yeah, I hear that. V'kevan di yichayev li besada, yichayev li be'ir, teku. We don't know. Amarava, kol shebishelo machzir bishel chavir nami machzir. Any item which, if it was his, he would want it brought back. And it wouldn't be beneath his dignity to bring it back. So for your friend also, you should bring it back. Kol shebishelo porik v'toin, anything, this is a separate halacha, any burden, which if it was his own animal, he would unload it, or if he would reload it. So b'shal chaver nami porik v'toin, you should also do that for your friend. Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi, have a kazal b'orcha, they were once walking on the way. One person came, met them. He was carrying some kind of load of wood. He put them down and stood to rest for a second. Amar le, Rabbi Shmuel said to Rabbi Yossi, Dali li, can you reload them? Amar le, Kama shavin, how as much is the wood worth? Amrle pagad zuz, half of a zuz. Yodle pagad zuz. So then Rabbi Yishmael gave him half a zuz and bought all the wood.
It says you declared it hefker.
Who declared it hefker?
It sounds like I can declare your, I'm going to pay for your wood and declare it hefker.
I'm a little confused what's going on. There's a third guy here, right? The third guy is carrying wood. He puts the wood down to take a breather. Rabbi Shmuel then says,
"No, it says here, Rabbi Shmuel gave him a half a zuz and pronounced the wood ownerless.
Whose wood?
The guy who was carrying it.
The third guy.
I think there's only.
How could they do that? That doesn't make any sense. Is there only two people?
I think so. There's Rabbi Yishmael.
So who's this Hu Gavra?
And there's the
Paga Beha Hu Gavra." To have a dari pascha dupe. He's carrying the wood. This third guy.
There's only two people. Rabbi Shmuel sees this guy. The guy says, hey, help me reload the wood on my back.
Oh. I read it wrong. I thought it was Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbi Yossi. It's Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi.
Yeah, the son.
It's his son of Rabbi Yossi. Okay, my fault. I thought Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi were talking about this third guy's wood. Okay, that made no sense to me. Okay, sorry. So the Rabbi Shmuel, only one person, happens to be the son of Rabbi Yossi, is walking on the way, and this guy puts down the wood, and Rabbi Shmuel says to him, you know, can I have the wood? Rabbi, he says to Rabbi Shmuel, can you help me reload the wood. Rabbi Shmuel says to him, how much is it worth? He says, half his uz. He gives him half his uz, and he makes it va'afkara, so that he didn't have to do the wood thing. He didn't have to help him. Hadar zacha behu, and then the other guy goes and picks it up again. Hadar yaleh pagad zuzah, and then Rabbi Shmuel again gives him another half his uz. Va'afkara, and he made it ownerless, so he wouldn't have to deal with the wood. Chazi to have a kabayla madra lemizgevu. He sees the guy is going back to pick the wood up again. He's like, this is good business. So amar le lekuli ama afkarinhu v'lach lo afkarinhu. Very interesting tactic. But for everybody else, this thing is hefker. For you, can't have it.
How do you declare this was somebody else's property?
No, he just bought it. He first bought it.
The guy didn't say it was for sale. Did the guy say it was for sale?
That's the assumption if he accepts the half his uz. The guy asks him, Rabbi Shmuel says, how much is it worth? He says, half his uz. Here's half his uz. The guy says, okay, good. And now it's Rabbi Shmuel's, and now he says it's hefker. It doesn't belong to anybody. Now he doesn't have to help him with the wood. V'chi umi have hefker ki hai gavna. Can you really make hefker to only some people? V'atzana b'shami omer hefker l'aniyim hefker. V'esil omer eno hefker ad she hefker l'aniyim v'lashirim. Kishmita. It has to be completely ownerless like Shmita. El Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, l'kuliyam hefkerinu. Rather, Rabbi Shmuel made it completely hefker, but mostly ba'amahu to okme. He was just talking, and he was saying that even though he didn't really mean it. For Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, zakin ve'en l'fich vodo hava. He didn't have to do that. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, lifnim mishuras adin hu da'avad. It's true, he didn't have to do that because he was already elderly and it was already beneath his dignity to have dealt with the wood. But he wanted to go the extra mile, the spirit of the law. Titani Rabbi Yossi, v'odat lehem zeh beis chayehem, es haderech zeh gemilu chasadim. V'odat lehem is teaching a trade. Es haderech is teaching kindness. Asher yelchu zeh bikur cholim, to visit the sick. Ba'azu kvura, v'es hamasa zeh hadin, that's referring to keeping the law. Asher yasun zu lifnim mishuras adin. That's going beyond the letter of the law. Amar Mar, Asher Yelchu Zebikar Cholim. The pasuk there says Yelchu, which means to go and visit people. Hayne Gemilas Chasadim. How is Bikar Cholim any different than Gemilas Chasadim? It's part and parcel of the same thing. Lo Nischa Ela Leven Gilo. When it comes to the pasuk Bikar Cholim, that's referring to his own age. Damar Mar Ben Gilo Notel Echad Mishishim Bechalyah. This is a general halacha learned out from Gemara we've seen in the Darim, that if you visit someone who's your fellow person, similar, so then you take 1/60th of the sickness, and that's also Bikur Cholim. V'afilu Hachi Mibayel Mezel Gabe, but you still have to go over there and to do Bikur Cholim. But Gemilas Chasadim is generally other situations. Bazu Kvura Hainu Gemilas Chasadim. That's the same thing. Burying somebody is also a chesed. That's saying even someone who is elderly, this is just coincidental that happens to be the same topic, but even someone who's elderly and it's beneath their dignity, they should help out with the burial process. That's how important it is. One of my favorite gemaras here, Asher Yasun Zu Lifnim Mishuras Adin. De'am Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Charva Yerushalayim El Al Shadainu Ba'din Torah. You know why Yerushalayim was destroyed? Because they kept halacha. I love that gemara. Al Shadanu Badin Torah. Yerushalayim was destroyed because they kept halacha. They kept the din of the Torah. El Adin and Demigizel Adainu. You want them to keep non-Torah? You want them to be, you know, evil people? What are you talking about? Why would that be the reason why Yerushalayim was destroyed? El Ema Hamidu Dinem Adin Torah Velo Avdu Lefnim Mishuras Adin. What it means is Yerushalayim was destroyed because people kept only the halacha. They did what was absolutely necessary, but they weren't willing to go to the spirit of the law and do a little bit more.
We have a lot of explanations of why Jerusalem was destroyed.
Correct. There are there's a whole laundry list. 20 different things. Yeah. That's only one. That Gemara in Gittin itself has a bunch. There's a Gemara in Shabbos we talked about that also has a bunch. If you find a donkey or a cow, a roan by derech just means wandering,
grazing by the road.
Grazing. So then, so that's not a lost item. If the items or the donkey are on its overturned, so then para ratza ben hakramim or a cow in the vineyard, harezu avida, those are places where it should not be. If you brought it back, it ran away, brought it back, ran away again. I feel 4 or 5 times, basically, you have to do it every single time. When you brought back the lost item, and he lost a sella of work because he was doing it, don't say to him, give me money. But the person should still give him some money.
Give him his wage like a worker.
You shouldn't ask for it, though. Im yesham beistin, masnim bifnei beistin, that he doesn't want to give back the item unless he can get his money's worth. And then, im ein sham beistin, bifnei mi yasne. And if there's no beistin there, who can he make a condition for? Shelo kodem. In that case, you wouldn't have to do it at all. All right, we'll get to the Gemara and talk about these things. Go ahead.